Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your source for Disney news and information from the Disney parks around the globe. Today, we have the latest Epcot Food and Wine Festival news, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris news, announcements on our next meetup, and more. But first, we want to welcome our first international listener guest, all the way from Scotland, Simon Forrest. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. It's always nice to talk to somebody on the other side of the pond, as we call it here. Probably call it the same thing, right?
This is the other side of the pond. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Simon, tell us, you know, which Disney parks you've been to as a world traveler.
I've been to Disneyland many years ago, to Disneyland Paris on three occasions, and we've had, as a family, two trips to Disney World.
Fantastic. Do you have a favorite out of the three of those?
Yeah, by far and away, Disney World. I think just the sheer scale of the place and the impact it has when you arrive and the variety of things to do, just impossible to beat.
Yeah. So the difference between, say, Disney World and Disneyland Paris, because that's the, you know, the Euro version of what we have, what sticks out in your mind as, you know, something that you should do over there? And then compared to, you know, say, Disney World here, something that you should do here that you can't get in Disneyland Paris.
I think the one thing that is just incomparable in Paris is the nighttime show. So the equivalent of wishes and dreams is just unbelievable. It's the newest, I think, still of the nighttime shows, and the effects are just incredible. Same principle, same idea. But just the technology's moved on, and the effect is just unbelievable. So I think that's the one standout for me in Paris. In relation to what to do in Disney World, I guess you've just got the range of choice. For me, Animal Kingdom is the standout that we don't have over here. Just the ability to get so close to the wildlife. The rides are amazing, but just the wildlife is just stunning. And there's nothing to touch that in Paris.
We could pack that up and send it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, I know it's not everybody's favorite park, to be fair, but I know it's. I think it's just incredible. I'm not sure those animals would like the Northern European climate, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's fine. They'll live with it. No, we have talked about the Paris nighttime show actually a few times on this podcast, and we have seen the video, and it is spectacular. It is. Yeah. By far, right now, probably the best nighttime show. I think Tokyo Disney is getting a nighttime parade that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yes, and Hong Kong, too.
And Hong Kong as well. So I think you guys may have a good run for your money in Paris, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, that's good. Well, it's glad to know that at least we have something here that you know, you guys like. And I know a lot of the Europeans do come here for very long periods of time, sometimes up to 2 weeks, which is interesting as well.
Yeah, I think the fact that you're paying for transatlantic flights means that you want to make it a trip that's worthwhile. There's no point in coming for a week, or there's less value in coming for a week. So if you can make it a longer trip, it makes a lot more sense economically.
Yeah. Now, when you come, do you just do Disney, or you go Disney Universal and Space Coast and all that kind of stuff?
I think more normally people will do a mixture of the parks, the different parks and different non theme park activities. We were in Disney World for 3 weeks in the springtime, and we spent the vast majority of our time at Disney World. We did some off property stuff. We did Merritt Island and Space Coast and all that kind of stuff. And other bits and pieces, but the majority of the time we were in the parks and just having fun.
I don't think I've ever been on a vacation for 3 weeks.
I can I can recommend it.
That must be really relaxing, I mean, to just get away from it all for 3 weeks consecutively.
It was just amazing, and we told our children, we have two girls, and we told the children we were staying for 2 weeks. We stayed in a villa about 15 minutes from the main gate, as far as they were concerned, on day 14 we packed up to go to the airport, and we went to Port Orleans Riverside and told them when we got there, how do you fancy staying for another week?
Wow.
Aww.
So that, believe me, that went down very, very well. It was just fantastic. That was probably one of the high points of the holiday, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. That's awesome. That's
great. So we then say we split our third week between Port Orleans and Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So
you did a villa, Port Orleans, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's stunning. Really cool.
Well, it sounds like you had a great trip.
Oh, we did. Yeah, no, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It sure does. I'm wondering if you want to adopt me, because
well, there's no point now. We're broke now. It's all money's running out.
The money's all gone. It's all in Mickey Mouse's wallet, right? All right. Well, we're just so excited to have you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and the time difference and all of that. So we really appreciate it.
No worries. My pleasure.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
I want to thank Trish, our friend over there at Tokyo Disney Resort, for sending this over. Remember, you can follow Trish at Dream Suites Love on Twitter. All right. So Trish says the big news is that the electrical parade dream lights will receive yet another renewal next July. A new Rapunzel float recreating the lantern scene, Rapunzel's glowing hair, and the flower will be added and will feature both Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. The Peter Pan pirate ship float, Blue Fairy float, and Knights of the Light along with four others will also be renewed. This will be the third renewal to Dreamlight since 2007 and 2011. Trish says she's shocked but happy they will renew it again so soon. Dreamlights is a monster parade with a runtime of approximately 20 minutes and currently featuring 26 floats. This renewal cost is estimated to be about $20 million in U.S. money. How about that?
It's $20 million well-spent dollars.
Yeah.
Because the stuff I've seen, the pictures and that, it just blows our Main Street Electrical Parade away.
It sounds really amazing. Fabulous.
She's going to have to send us some video of this or put it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, she probably has. She's got some great videos on her YouTube channel. I got to share one of them earlier this week. Some good stuff. So we'll have to link to those in the show notes. Yeah.
Okay, we just want to send out a reminder that on July 6th, really July 6th? I guess that's not that far away already.
Mm-hmm.
July 6th, we are going to meet at the Contempo Cafe, which is the little quick service place on the fourth floor of the Contemporary Resort. If you come meet us, we will be there between 3 and 4 p.m. And, Chris, do we have any goodie bags for this or anything we're going to...
Oh, yes.
Of course we do.
Oh, yes.
All right, so come meet us on July 6th, Contempo Cafe. All right, this summer, the Disney Hollywood Studios is inviting everyone to rock your Summerside. I think I'm tired with this theming and marketing already. This rock your side, show your side. Ay, ay, ay. But anyway, they're going to have a special dance party every night from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. There'll be a live band, the Hollywood Rockers, will take place at the Sorcerer's Hat Icon Stage, engaging in rowdy antics and playing some of the greatest songs of summer. Is this just going to be mulch, sweat, and cheers in a different costume? Right? That's my guess. Maybe. Okay, and then between sets with the band, the DJ will spin summertime hits as well, so you really can get your party going. Mickey and the gang will be dressed for fun in the sun. That'll be good because there's not a lot of places you can see Mickey in his bathing outfit, or Minnie for that matter, besides Castaway Key, obviously. I don't think of any place, really.
Really? Do they not? They're not in the water parks?
Not anymore, I don't think.
Wow.
You know what? I'd have to go back and look now. I can't remember. So this will be good. This will be they don't have a... Oh, this will be through August 22nd. So, you know, make sure if you're down here, go to the Hollywood Studios at night, check out this dance party, and get your, you know, rock your Disney side now. Your summer side. We're going seasonal. You know, soon after that, we'll be unleashing the villains over there, so...
Yes, yeah. Yes. There's also a giant postcard, Tony, where they can... You can take a picture of yourself in front of the giant postcard for summer.
Oh, terrific.
So that's something a little different that they haven't done before.
Will that replace that Hollywood sign thing over by the Sorcerer's stage? Is that where they're going to put that?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet in person.
Yeah, it's probably right over there. It probably won't be far from the stage, folks.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Simon, have you ever seen one of these party things that they do? I know Disneyland has one at their park. I think Disneyland.
No, we were, Food and Wine was on when we were in Disney World in the springtime, which was phenomenal. Not Food and Wine. The Flower and Garden Festival was on, and we saw some bands there in the UK Pavilion and the usual guys that are in the between Canada and the UK, but nothing specific of this type. I think. Perhaps one of the differences from a UK perspective, or if you're traveling from further afield, is that you want to see the park as it is. So you want to see the headliners, the Main Street Electrical Parade, Fantasmic, all these things that are standard attractions. I think for most people coming from a distance, the sideshows are just that.
Yeah, I would think so too, that you want to really see the big things, not the temporary things.
And it's good fun. It adds another 5%, another 10%. But those aren't the things, I think, that make you book a trip on a particular date or not.
Good to know. Keep that in mind, Disney, when you're... Maybe they're just creating these things for the locals.
Well, I know that there's the big debate around overlays, Christmas overlays and so on, whether they arrive in Disney World compared to Disneyland. And I guess it's an extension of the same logic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they do those Christmas overlays for the locals, not for the tourists.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, Krista, what else do we have going on?
Okay, so next we have news from Disneyland Paris, courtesy of our friend Laura. Remember, you can follow Laura at That Disney Lover on Twitter. Okay, so here's what she says. Disney PhotoPass Plus has officially come to Paris. From the 21st of June onwards, Disneyland Paris guests can purchase a PhotoPass Plus packet for only €49.99, I guess that's euros, which will include a lanyard, main card, and two mini cards for the use during the visit. Once guests have finished in their trip, they can then go to disneyphotopass.eu site or use the new app to view and purchase their photos either as prints, mugs, calendars, etc. Passes are activated for 10 days and photos will be stored for up to 1 year. That's pretty neat. And then the popular welcome swing into spring season will continue. Some of its newly popular shows, such as Welcome to Spring, which will become Welcome to Summer, which will run from July 5th to August 31st. Also, the meet and greet for Rapunzel will continue over the summer season as well. So that's kind of cool. Some different stuff they've got going on over there. I guess PhotoPass Plus is a new concept to Disneyland Paris. Is that right, Simon?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
Wow.
I think the original PhotoPass that's now been missing from Disney World for some time. I think that existed in Paris, but as in the U.S., the whole thing's been upgraded.
Hmm. Interesting.
So people had to take their own pictures?
That's crazy. Really? We're very backwards here in Europe.
Yeah, what did you do? I mean, oh my God, you had to take your own pictures. Disney, what were you thinking? Oh, jeez. I bet there was a lot of cast members. Well, maybe not. I don't know if there were cast members, you know, taking pictures for people.
I think the French attitude to cast members' attitudes is perhaps slightly different to that you find in the US typically. The can-do, have a nice day attitude that you guys will be used to doesn't exist 100% in Paris. It's an odd mix of French indifference and the kind of US how can I help you. So it's very different scenario, I would say.
Wow. So if I give some guy my camera to take a picture, he's probably just going to walk away with it.
Very likely, yes.
All right, good safety tip if you're traveling to Paris. Do not hand camera to cast member or any other guest. All right. We're going to have to ask our friend John and Rick if that's the case, because that's crazy. I'm stunned. I'm still stunned. All right, over in Disneyland, back here in the U.S., we have news brought to you by our friend Randy Crane at faithinthemagickingdom.com. Earlier this year, the popular Billy Hills and Hillbilly show closed, and that's interesting. I think we were at this show when we were there for the Expo and Adventure by Disney. So I think we did get to see the show, which was it was fun and entertaining for me. So after many years in the Golden Horseshoe Saloon, it was moved over to Big Thunder Ranch Jamboree Festival area, and that's where we saw them. And then it was retired finally on January 6th, 2014. Its replacement seems to be going the same way. The Laughingstock Company used to perform in front of the Golden Horseshoe, but then moved inside. And then over the last several months or so, in case you haven't seen it, the Laughingstock Company is now an interactive, semi-improvised show that includes a set of zany Wild West-style characters. One of Randy's favorite shows is called Find a Suitor, where three unsuspecting members of the crowd are selected to answer questions from the mayor of Frontierland, less-than-handsome daughter, played by a man. Think of the Old West meets comedy meets the dating game. So
that's a good description.
That sounds pretty crazy. Although there's been no official confirmation, a source in the entertainment area reports July 8th will mark the final performance of the longtime comedy troupe Inside the Shoe, starting July 9th, and a new interactive show will take place. The Laughingstock performers found jobs at other shows throughout the resort, including a new show. If you want to catch the antics of the mayor and the sheriff and the other favorite ones for the last time, head down to the Golden Horseshoe right now pretty quickly. Also in Disneyland food news, and I did not know this, but each month they do a new gourmet apple. So that's pretty crazy to conjure up, 12 different apples throughout the year. I wonder if they just recycle some of the ones. This way you can't remember. In Disneyland food news, each month the Disneyland Resort debuts a new gourmet apple. There are so far beyond the typical caramel apple, it's almost hard to compare. To remedy this oversight, here is July's apple. The gourmet apple is a s'more. The apple has been dipped in chocolate and topped with graham crackers and marshmallows that have been toasted to perfection. There's also a gourmet apple that can be found during the month of July at the following Disneyland resorts. You can find this apple at the Disneyland Park at the Candy Palace, Disneyland California Adventure at Trolley Treats, and Downtown Disney District at Marceline's Confection. So there you go. You get a different apple every month. And once again, I think this is going towards the locals that go there so often. They probably get sick and tired of the same snacks, so they change up their snacks by giving them something new every month, which probably not a bad idea,
How does that sound to you, Simon? You think you would enjoy a caramel apple with toasted marshmallows on it?
Sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, I'm in.
It sounds like an unusual idea. It's probably really good.
And here's a tip for people that don't know this. Most of the places, well, I know here in Florida, and they probably do it in California, maybe in other places too, they will cut your apple for you. They have a little thing, and they'll slice it all up for you, so you don't have to try and gnaw your way through the apple and the stick.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you just ask them when you're buying your apple, can you cut that up for me, and they will certainly do that. So makes it a lot easier, especially if you're kids and you want to share the apple. This way you get one apple, you can share it, between a couple kids, or even the whole family gets a little, bite of the apple, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
Yep, there you go.
So for the first day of summer, you know, since that just happened recently, the Disney Parks blog made an exciting announcement that there's new Olaf merchandise about to hit Disney theme parks. So this will be Walt Disney World and Disneyland. First up are two new t-shirts that include Olaf and other characters from the award-winning film. In July, Olaf will be found on a new antenna topper and a three-dimensional magnet. I've noticed, Tony, there's a lot more adult Olaf shirts. I've seen them out and about. So I think that they're finally providing those for everybody that wants them. So that's good. There's also going to be an Olaf beach towel, a tumbler, and an open edition pin that will be released in August. There'll be a pin trading starter set that includes four pins, one being Olaf, and a lanyard that also arrives in August. Towards late summer, you'll want to look for an Olaf-themed fuzzy bag with a pouch to carry your mobile phone. Anna and Elsa will join Olaf on a new coffee mug coming in early fall. And last but not least, an Olaf hat is also coming this fall. So you can look for these items in select merchandise locations at Disneyland and Walt Disney World in the coming months. Have you guys seen the picture of this Olaf hat?
Yes. I don't know how you keep your head up.
It's a little disturbing.
It's a little weird. First of all, it's not a hat I would wear during the summer. It looks very hot. It's like a, a giant, you know, it has earmuffs and it stands like maybe a foot or so higher than your, like the bottom snowball part is your head. And then there's two more snowball parts, which, you know.
It's like an Olaf literally standing on your head. It's like an Olaf on your head. You have to be a really big fan.
And, you know, the adult shirts are really, I don't know. It looks like Disney slapped these things together like in 10 seconds and just said, let's get them out there quick.
Yeah, I've only seen like a couple of designs. Have you seen?
I've only seen two, and they're not fantastic designs. I mean, they can do better. We know they can do better. Like I said, they're just trying to get this stuff out there. And as we said before, the Sir Mickey store, if you're looking for Frozen merchandise, the Sir Mickey store seems to be really the definitive place to get anything here in Florida. I don't know where it is in California yet, but here in Florida, if you want anything, you have to go to the Sir Mickey store. And I think I saw some special collector dolls recently online as well. So, I think it's like that animators collection set. I think they're adding to that.
Wow. Simon, do you have a lot of Frozen fans in your house?
Yeah, I have two massive Frozen fans. In fact, one of the great things we did when we were staying at Port Orleans was watch one of their outdoor movies that were showing while we were there, and it was Frozen they were showing, and the girls just thought that was fantastic. The idea of going to a movie outside is not something that happens in the UK. It's the weather here just doesn't suit that kind of plan. So that was fantastic, just to sit under the stars, beautiful setting, and watch this movie. The girls were in absolute heaven.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, Tony, we take so much for granted here. You know, we see those movies playing all the time. You know, when we're at the resorts walking around and you see it and, you know the kids are having a good time, but it's just like something we see all the time and we don't even think about that. It's so nice to hear that your girls enjoyed that so much. It's good.
Yeah, when we arrived at the hotel and you're looking through all the information and what's happening and so on, that they immediately pick that out as, we must drop everything else and make sure we do this. Yeah. You know, a real kind of big star event.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to relax too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Glass of wine, lovely evening, all good.
Also, other Frozen, I guess, update. You know, we spoke about, I think it was on the last podcast, that you can't meet Anna and Elsa in the same meet and greet. And that's yes and a no. They're in the same room, but you can't take a picture of them together. First you meet Anna, then you meet Elsa, and they're in the same room, but you can't put them together for a picture anymore. You know, you can see both of them, but you just can't take your picture with both at the same time.
Yeah, it's Fairy Tale Hall, and they're both on one side, right? So,
They're in the same room, like they did with the other characters, you know, whether Cinderella and Snow White or Tangled and Merida or whoever they were you know, running through there. The picture of both of them together is gone. Alicia, I was hoping that you didn't have to stand in line twice. That was my fear. You'd have to go once for Anna and then once for Elsa. You know, 4 hours, you'd spend 8 hours seeing two princesses, and there your day's gone. But that's not the case. You're going to get to see both. You just can't take a picture of both. I'm sure if you bring in some money, maybe the princesses can be bribed to be take a picture together. Okay, here in Walt Disney World, we are going to get ready, and I can't really believe we're still talking about this in June. The Food and Wine Festival is gearing up, and there's a lot of news and info coming out already. This year, the festival will run for a marathon 53 days. That's longer than any Food and Wine Festival to date, and they've been doing this for 19 years. So that is huge. So if you've never been to this festival, I really suggest people that this is one festival you really need to come to. This would be great, Simon, to come down for 3 weeks because you can really eat your way around the world.
Oh, no, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah. This year there'll be nearly 30 marketplaces, so that's huge. If you want to book any of those special events that happen during the festival, these typically go on sale in late August, and the full schedule has not been released, so we don't know. Just write down this number, 407-WDW-FEST, or you can go to EpcotFoodFestival.com when this comes out to book your event. I think most of these have to be booked via the number, but we'll update you once we get the actual info. This year, there'll be some new marketplaces. One is being called the Patagonia, which will feature menu items from the countries of Argentina and Chile. That's pretty good. And then most of the usual suspects are returning, like Africa, the Dirt Booth, Hawaii, Hops and Barley, Farm Fresh, Bean to Bar, Brazil, Scotland, Puerto Rico. So those will all be returning. And I'm going to tell you, I just recently signed up for the Food and Wine Festival Preview, which is happening on July 19th.
Did you? I was going to ask you if you did that or not. Huh?
Of course I did.
Wow.
So on July 19th, they're having a four-hour event where they will treat us to a preview of most of the things that will be at the Food and Wine Festival. Part of it is what they're calling a reception kind of buffet, where they'll have samplings of the food there and the wine, obviously. And then the other half will be a plated sit-down dinner where they will get up and, you know, kind of have a PowerPoint presentation and walk us through the whole festival. So sometime after July 19th, we'll get back on the podcast and talk about that whole shenanigans.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, Simon, you were here during Flower and Garden Fest, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Did you do any of like the food booths at that time?
Actually, that's one of the things we missed out on. And I think we'd done a lot of research this time in terms of where to eat, restaurants that are really worth going out of your way to visit. And so we focused more again on the stuff that's there probably 365 days a year, which if you're going, you know, multiple times each year, is perhaps becomes more mundane. But for us coming, you know, once every few years, you know, it is still very exciting and very novel. So we did things like the kitchen sink of Beaches and Cream and things like that, which, you know, are just mind-blowing if you've never done them before. And Flower and Garden, you know, was much more of the looking at the topiaries and the way the whole place is set up. And you know, it just looks absolutely, the whole place looks amazing. You know, the character topiary is just a fantastic addition to the park. So that was our big focus, I think.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. The park is really visually stunning when that is in place, but the food and wine is, I can't taste the flowers. I can't eat my way around the flower garden. Well, actually, that's not 100% true. They actually had planters in front of some of those booths with like herbs and tomatoes and oranges, and I was eating some of the plants, so I guess you could eat your way around the world. Anytime I came across like a mint plant that just, you know, took off a nice leaf.
Yeah, so we don't endorse that here at the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, Krista doesn't, but I do. Hey, another thing I wanted to talk about was they were testing this don't check in concept at some of the Disney resorts. We heard it was happening at the Contemporary, Port Orleans, French and Riverside, Pop Century, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. This is where you didn't have to go to the front desk. If you had your band and your credit card and all your information up to date on My Disney Experience, what would happen is they would just text you your room number, and then you would just go to your room. If anybody was part of this test, please go to the Disney Parks Podcast website, and you'll see a little red bar on the side where you can leave us a message. We'd love to talk to you and find out how that experience was. I'd like to know, you know, was it good? Was it bad? What did you like? What you didn't like? But I'm really interested because I am not sure if I am a fan of this. I mean, I get that people want to get to their room faster, but I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that no guest interaction then. I mean, how do you tell them to get to the room? You know, if you're a first-time visitor, I'm not sure if this is for you. If you're a frequent visitor, this is probably, hey, this is great. I don't have to go talk to anybody. Just tell me where my room is and I'm gone. Once again, if you have done this, please give us a call or leave us a message on the Disney Parks Podcast website. We have that new little magical thing where you can leave us a message. So that's that. Before we start the infotainment, we kind of partnered up with a friend of ours over at magicstrollers.com. And if you go to any one of our podcast posts, you'll see a link for Magic Strollers. You'll see the little icon. You can click on that, and that will take you over to Magic Strollers. And they are a Disney-featured stroller provider. And what that means is that they've been approved by Disney to rent strollers on property. There are only four companies that are authorized to have strollers rented on property, and these are one of the four. So if you do that, you will be helping to support the show. So on your next trip, you need a stroller, please go over to magicstrollers.com and do that.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
At noon or later, rather than wasting a whole park ticket, what do you do? Okay, let's start with Simon.
So I think traveling, again, particularly if you're traveling from overseas, traveling to get yourself to Disney World is clearly tiring. I think, to my mind, an afternoon, if you're staying on site, an afternoon at the pool is you know, is a fantastic way to start a holiday. It's relaxing, there's no great stress, there's not too much walking, and, you know, just a really easy way to unwind your way into your holiday. Most of us lead busy, hectic lives. You're working hard, trying to get out of the office before your holiday, just to spend some time relaxing, winding down, taking it easy. Sounds like a pretty nice afternoon, nice way of spending the first day of your holiday.
I love that. And what's your favorite pool on property? I know that's a hard question.
So limited experience, I guess. Port Orleans was nice, but I think the huge pool at Animal Kingdom Lodge, it was probably the ones I've seen firsthand was fantastic. The one at the beach club looked really nice. We saw that when we went to eat at Beaches and Cream. Mm-hmm. That looked really cool.
Yeah, that's really the gold standard of Disney pools.
Yeah. No, it just looked fantastic.
Okay, Krista, do you have a suggestion?
I would like to suggest, if you're not completely exhausted, why not book a night at the Hoopty Doo Musical Review or the Spirit of Aloha show? This is, you know, your true dining and entertainment experience. And it's, you know, kind of a classic way to kick things off and in a fun and entertaining way. So, you know, if you're not completely exhausted, that might be a good one to do. Just try one of the dinner shows.
And you can throw in Mickey's barbecue over at Fort Wilderness, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, it's another thing to do. I usually, if I'm coming at noon or later, I usually like to hit Downtown Disney, do a little shopping, you know, check out what's new, what stores, what you know, food they have. Because usually I like to do that then on my last day as well. You know, hit that on my way out of my vacation, make sure I got all the souvenirs I need, didn't get, you know, maybe, you know, when it first came. So usually I like to hit Downtown Disney is one of the things to do.
Yeah, that's always good. How about you, Simon? You got another one?
Yeah, I mean, I think sticking with your food theme, Christopher, I think, you know, picking out somewhere that's just fantastic to eat. There's so many places, even if there's not a specific show like Hoopty Doo, but somewhere like Whispering Canyon, that is just a spectacular place to go and eat. And, you know, it really gets you in the mood. The resort hotels are, you know, exciting places to go and visit. There's so many of them to choose from. You can go and see things you wouldn't perhaps see otherwise. Take some time out of a day that's not using up a park ticket. Go to the Polynesian is fantastic. Any of these places are just a great place to go and spend some time, and the food is fantastic. So you just go and relax and take it easy.
I love that. Yeah, it's a great idea. And some people don't know that you don't have to be staying in a resort to have dinner there. So you really have your pick of everything, you know, especially if you book it ahead of time before you get here. Awesome idea. I love that.
What else do you have, Krista?
Okay, so another one I wanted to mention was the mini golf. Or bowling. Bowling at Splitsville is awesome. The food there is, I just can't even believe how good it is. I think it's some of the best food on property, if I can be so bold as to say that. I just, every time I've been there to eat, my experience has been great. I love their salads. Everything's really fresh. So I guess it doesn't really have anything to do with bowling. But if you go to Splitsville to bowl, you got to try the food. You know, that's a great way to, you know, kick off a fun vacation. And then as far as the mini golf, I haven't done any mini golf on property personally, but in visiting Fantasia Mini Golf earlier this month, I think it's gorgeous. It looks like a really fun place to go and do that. It's not something locals really think of. Like, we don't think of going to Fantasia or Winter Summerland to mini golf for whatever reason. I haven't been to either one yet, but I could imagine that would be a great way to kind of kick things off, you know, for early evening, just kind of go have some mini golf. And it's a great chance for everybody to talk. It's like a good, you know, family team building activity. Both of those are bowling and mini golf. You can just kind of hang out and talk and kick off your vacation.
Yeah, I've been to both of those, and I kind of lean more towards the summer winterland. It's a little bit more, I can't say fun, but it's almost like two golf courses in one, because you could do one and then you could do the other. You know, Fantasy Gardens, you kind of do one and you're done. Well, they have two as well. One is supposed to be easier than the other, but I still seem to gravitate more towards summer winterland. And as Krista said, Splitsville is a great place for food. They have, I think now, 16 gluten-free items.
Wow.
And I think they just added like 6 to 8 more new items to the menu. I think a couple things came off, but they added a couple more new items to the menu. So they're always changing things up there. So if you haven't tried it, you know, give it a try. One thing I like to do to kind of kick off my vacation is hit the pool. I really, you know, it's one thing that we used to do with the kids is, you know, go to Downtown Disney, you know, go find that restaurant and then kind of just sit back and relax and enjoy the pool. A lot of the pools, most of the deluxe resorts, and I think even some of the moderates even, have, you know, a bar by the pool. So if you want to kick back with a cocktail while the kids are, you know, doing some swimming, if you're not a swimmer and the kids like to go swimming, you want to just relax, well, there's usually a cocktail not that far away. It's another thing you can do while you're sitting at the pool watching your kiddies soak up the sun and have some fun. All right. Who's next? Simon again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think my third choice would be a trip to Celebration. So that's something we did not on our first day. We did it during the holiday, but that was something that was very different. We were staying, for the first 2 weeks, we were staying off property in a place called Westridge, which was great. It was fantastic, but it didn't really have a town center. It was a collection of houses, I guess. Celebration, we hadn't been to before, and I just thought it was a really nice little town. Very, very picturesque, very easy to find your way around, beautiful, nice places to eat, some nice shops, and again, just a really low-key, relaxing way to start your holiday. No stress, not too much walking, just take it easy, grab a bite to eat and maybe a drink, you know, and you're in the holiday mood.
Yeah, did you dine down there, Simon, when you were there?
We dined on about 4.5 kilos of fudge from one of the candy stores, which was fantastic. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that as if you're starving hungry, but we stopped for a drink and some candy. So just really nice to spend an hour or two taking it easy, wandering around in and out of a few shops. There's a beautiful park, just a nice place to be.
What a great idea.
Yeah, we should do a show on Celebration, Krista.
We should, yeah. I had completely forgotten about they have a little like manicure, pedicure salon place over there. I'm sure it's not the most affordable place, but it's got to be better than like doing that kind of stuff on property. That's a really good idea too.
Yeah, and no surprise, I've eaten at most of the restaurants there.
Oh, have you?
I'll tell you, though, a little hidden secret is there's the Celebration Hotel, and it's really the hidden gem, because if all of the Disney resorts are busy, this is a great place to stay, kind of still on property, right? Because, I mean, Disney owns that land. You're still kind of on property, and they do have shuttles to the parks. If you're looking to stay, you know, close to the action, but, you know, you want to, you know, have a nice quiet place to kind of go, the Celebration Hotel is a great alternative.
And is it a Disney-owned hotel, Tony?
No, it's owned by Bohemian Hotel Group.
Okay.
Yep. Which is, it falls into that kind of boutique hotel category. But they really have great, you know, customer service. It's a beautiful lobby. It's really a great hotel. I really can't say nice things. I really would love to stay there once to try it out. You know, I'm just tired of just going into the lobby and going, oh, this is a great place. I'd like to stay here. I should probably just do it once, you know.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, I forget that people can go to Celebration. And I would never think that, you know.
Me too.
That you guys would go there. You know, I would think that you'd want to be in the midst of the tourist corridor, you know, and do all the kind of touristy things.
Yeah, I guess the whole, you know, from our perspective, from an overseas perspective, the whole of American life, from hiring your car to going to the supermarket to a place like Celebration, is all kind of interesting because it's all foreign and it's all exotic. You know, what to you is just a supermarket, to ours is an interesting supermarket, you know. It all has a different dimension when you're coming from overseas.
Yes, that's so true, because I can imagine going over there, I would feel the same way, like, you know. It's all novel and new. That's so awesome. I'm so glad you came on the show. This is great. This is great having a different perspective.
All right, Krista, what do you have on your list?
Okay, so I guess another one I want to talk about is just resort hopping. I am a huge fan of this, even as a local. Like, I love just going to all the different resorts. The deluxe resorts are so fun to check out. You know, even if you're not staying there, you can actually spend some time on your arrival day just hopping around the resorts and, you know, checking them all out. The other thing, too, it's never too early to start planning your next trip. So you can, you know, kind of look at them and think about, well, maybe next time we'll stay at this one or that one. And it's especially fun to do this at Christmas time when, you know, everything's decorated for the holidays with the trees and the life-size gingerbread houses and all that good stuff. And riding the monorail. You can just take the monorail loop and do those three resorts, check them out, do some shopping in the gift shops. A wonderful activity for summertime when it's really, really hot out. You just stay in the air conditioning the whole time. So I think that would be a fun way to kind of kick things off too.
I just did a little resort hopping this weekend. I wanted to go to Downtown Disney. And I said, well, I do not want to fight that traffic, the parking. And what I did was I went and parked over at Port Orleans French Quarter. I figured, let me park over there because then maybe on my way back, I'll get some beignets to take home.
Oh.
So I was thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. So I parked there and I took the boat over, you know, took the Sarsaparilla River and, you know, took, you know, the little boat over there, which was fine. And then I said on the way back, it was starting to get hot, and I said, I'm going to take the bus back because at least it's air conditioned. Well, that was such a bozo, no, stupid mistake. first of all, I didn't have to really wait that long for the bus, but when you take the bus from Downtown Disney back, the bus goes to Riverside first, and it stops at every single place on the loop, and then stops at the front where, you know, everybody gets on, and then it goes over to the French Quarter. So that bus ride back must have taken like an hour and a half. The boat would have taken 15 minutes. So, note to self, take the boat coming back and take the bus going there, because the bus goes directly to Downtown Disney, but coming back it makes that giant loop and stops at every single bus stop. So,
wow,
that was crazy. And Downtown Disney was still a mess, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also that bus stop has gotten a little rehab. There is now absolutely no place to sit at the Marketplace bus stop. Zero.
Really?
Zippo. They took all of the benches out. There is not a place to put your butt. Now, they made it easier for the buses to get, you know, back onto the street. They did a little reno in that street. I can't think of the name of the street. It's not Buena Vista Street. It's the other one. They now have this bus lane where the bus shoots right out into the roadway so it can get right out there. So that's fantastic that the buses can leave there quicker, but if you're looking for a place to sit, it's not there.
Wow, good to know.
Yeah, just another check mark on my missing benches list. Okay, the last thing on my list that I like to do is I like to go shopping. This could be anywhere. It could be resorts. It could be downtown Disney. Even if you go to the outlet stores, it's another place to go shopping if you got half a day. If you have a car, if you didn't take Magical Express and you have something to do, you could take a cab over there too. Probably not that expensive to take a cab over there. There are places to get cabs for the ride back from the outlet store, so you don't have to worry about being abandoned. But shopping is a great thing to do. There's a lot of variety. Each of the resorts have their own little shops. Downtown Disney's got plenty of places for you to shop. And then if you go off property, we have two different outlet stores, two different outlet centers right now, Krista? Maybe there's more.
Yeah.
I can't keep track.
There's a couple.
We have a really nice high-end mall called the Millennium Mall. We have a huge mall, which I believe is the largest in Florida, the Florida Mall. It's a huge mall. So there's plenty of shopping to do. And you could get some Disney things for a lot less off-property than you can at Disney. So you may want to think about it. The outlet, the character outlet stores in the outlet centers have all the Disney stuff at usually half the price. So
that's very true.
So it's a great place to get some things. I had an Oswald billiard shirt that I just recently bought, and I saw it in the outlet store for half the price. And this was mere months after I had just recently purchased mine.
That hurts.
Yeah, I was a little...
That happened to me with the new Fantasyland shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I paid top dollar for one of those on the day, and then they were at the outlets just a couple weeks later. So.
Yeah. I think it's time to go over there, because I bet there's some Star Wars merchandise there now that we can probably pick up for... on the cheap.
Probably.
So, yeah, so I may make a trip there in the next week or so before it's all gone.
Yeah. Now, Simon, did you have another idea?
I think just buy a park ticket. Just go for it.
Just suck it up and pay the money, yeah.
You're on holiday, go for it.
I like it. I was thinking, too, about the characters in Flight Balloon. I haven't done that yet. Have either of you guys done that at Downtown Disney?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. I've done it at night and I've done it during the day, both kind of very different experiences. We got lucky one time at night, Wishes was happening. So we had like a balloon view of Wishes, which...
That's incredible.
Yeah, which gave me a completely different perspective from, either being in the park or Top of the World or Nocosi's or, any other resort. So it was a very different view. It's a very fun experience. If you're afraid of heights, check it off your list. You're not going to want to do this. This is not for the weak of heart. If you had, you don't like heights, you don't like, wobbly things or, things tethered with a little cable. But it was a lot of fun. And it's really not that expensive. The only problem, I guess, with it is it's got a very flaky operational schedule. If it's windy, and I'm not sure how windy it has to be for them not to do it, but it seems like a lot of the time it's not operational and it's because of the wind. But other times I have seen it windy and it is operational, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what their schedule is, but...
And you bring up a really good point, too, about the fireworks, because you don't necessarily have to go to the parks to see the fireworks. You can enjoy those depending on your timing, right?
Yep.
And then the electrical water pageant, too. You can catch that, on your first night.
Yeah. Longest running thing here in Walt Disney World, besides the Hoop-Dee-Doo. And we already said Hoop-Dee-Doo. So that's two things you can see that have been here since 1971.
There you have it. So hopefully our list brought you some ideas for your first night here in town. And, when you're kicking off your vacation, if you've only got a half a day or so, hopefully those will be some good tips for you. And was there anything else we needed to cover, Tony?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, Simon, once again, we want to thank you so much for coming and, providing the British perspective. We just appreciate you so much. We know you've been a listener since early on, and we're just a great friend of the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
No worries at all. It's my absolute pleasure. And guys, thank you very much for all the all the hard work you do and putting these shows together. It's a phenomenal resource, and it's fantastically useful, fantastically entertaining, and just, you know, it's just really good fun to feel you're a little bit more involved from a long way away. So thank you very much indeed.
Oh, that means so much. Yes, that's why we do it. Thank you so much. So thanks everybody for tuning in.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon the star, you're